The show is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. Coming up on the show, I'll be talking with Robert Rumbelow, who is director of bands at the University of Illinois. And the university's summer band will be giving the first of its two Twilight concerts this summer. It'll be happening on Thursday at 7 o'clock on the quad at the U of I. And that is a free concert. We'll be getting a preview of that program. First up on the show, we'll be having a preview of a festival that's actually already underway, but will continue on Thursday and run through the 1st of July, and that is the annual 10-Minute Play Festival from Heartland Theatre Company in Normal. We'll have a preview of one of those 10-minute plays and an overview of the rest. Stay tuned to Live and Local.
Just a visitor.
Well, that's what it sounded like, a theme for the game Monopoly, and I don't really know why that's why I just played that, except it was given to me by folks at the Heartland Theater Company in Normal. I do know why, somewhat why that was given to me. Apparently that music shows up in one of the 10-minute plays that are being presented as part of the annual 10-Minute Play Festival. That festival started on the 7th of June, so quite a number of performances have passed, but there are quite a number of performances yet to come, including this week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7:30 and a Sunday matinee, and then repeat that for next week as well. And it all wraps up on the 1st of July. It takes place in Heartland Theatre Company's space in the Normal Community Activities Center on Douglas Street in Normal. We have a preview to come from one of those plays, but first we'll be talking with the person who is chair of the 10-Minute Plays Committee. Her name is Julie Kistler. She also happens to be the vice president of the board of directors for Heartland Theatre Company and generally on the play selection committee as well. And many of you listening to me may know her name for the same reason that I know her name, which is from seeing her reviews over the years, particularly in the News Gazette here in Champaign-Urbana. And if you're any part of the various theater companies around, you have probably cursed her name many times, many times over when she would say something you didn't like about whatever show you might have been involved in. And I can't say that I accept myself in that from that tendency, but also enjoy reading her reviews. And she writes a lot of other stuff, too. Julie, how did you get involved in, the, or at least where does the notion of having a festival of 10-minute plays come from?
It actually started here in Champaign. I was involved with the Station Theater over in Urbana, and I thought it might be an interesting idea, because there's a lot of talented writers here in town, if we did some kind of festival there to showcase local authors' work. We started kind of looking at the idea, and it just didn't pull together. And by the time that had sort of fallen apart, I was over in Bloomington Normal, and I brought the idea to Mike Dobbins, the artistic director at Heartland Theater, because they said they were looking for new plays. They said that was a priority of their theater, and I thought, aha, this could work. So I originally pitched the idea for local playwrights with the idea that it would all be on one set, so it would be easy to do numerous plays and do 8 plays. We talked to Mike about it and hammered out some of the details. And in the first year, it was solicited from local writers. But it was such a success that in the second year, they took it national and started soliciting plays from all over the world. And we've had submissions from all over the world. So it's been a huge success for Heartland Theater and definitely fulfills their mission of supporting new work.
So this is how many seasons then for?
This is the 11th year.
Wow. Excuse me. So what's the process of soliciting the plays and then selecting the plays?
In the beginning, we did a lot more work to try to reach out to playwrights to find them. Now we're a little better known and we have more internet weapons at our disposal, so we don't have to send out flyers to playwriting classes and that kind of thing. We post on bulletin boards on the internet, and we post on playwriting bulletin boards on the internet, and we post on our own website. About September 1st, we put up what the new seasons or the theme for the next year will be, and then we have a little entry form right there. About maybe 5 years ago, we started saying, don't send us paper. We're going to save a tree. Send us only internet submissions. So that's the way we do it now. They send their play to us. Right, they attach it to the little entry form on the Heartland Theater website, and we take it. We ask that it be on the theme, however, and we ask that it be under 10 minutes or, you know, about 10 minutes. We don't want half an hour play or anything like that. So,
so if you had something that lasted 12, that might be okay.
It might be okay, depending on how much we like it.
Well, and then who is we? When you say we like
well,
it.
Well, I have here Ron Emmons, who's also on that reading committee of the first round. We have 4 judges for the first round of plays. I chair the committee, and my committee members are Ron Emmons, Holly Roki, and Todd Weinbrenner. Todd is the current president of Heartland Theater's board of directors, and Holly is an actress and who is a graduate of Illinois State University, and she's the head of the theater department at Eureka College. So we all have connections to Heartland. We all have connections to theater, and from different perspectives. Ron's a director and actor. Holly's an actress and a director. Todd is a writer and an actor. I'm a writer, and I've done other backstage things like props and assistant directing and things. So we come to it from different perspectives, and we read all of the plays and cut it down to maybe 40, which goes to the next round of judges, which is smaller, and that includes the artistic director, Mike Dobbins. And then that comes down to maybe 15 or 16. And then we send those on to what we call a nationally known playwright. This year it was Deborah Zoe Laufer, the playwright who wrote Sirens, End Days, and The Last Schwartz. She's a very good playwright. And we had done one of her plays, Sirens, at Heartland Theater. So she seemed like a good person to ask to judge the final round. So we did that.
Wow, so the final bit all comes down to one person.
Yes, and it's someone we respect. So Richard Kalinowski, the author of Beast on the Moon, which was a Pulitzer Prize nominee, Humana Play. Ken Weitzman, who just had an O'Neill. He just won the O'Neill Prize. So that's the kind of playwright we're looking for that final judge. So, yes, it does come down to one person, but that's good, too. So it's not someone associated with Heartland Theater. It's also all judged blind. We don't know who's associated with which play. Our administrator, Gail Dobbins, takes off the names, any mention of any name before we see them. But it's good to be outside the theater, I think, for that final judge, because then we're sure they don't know who any of these plays come from.
Sure. And then, so what's the typical number of submissions you get in the first place?
This year we set a record with 366.
Did the committee of 4 actually have to read all those?
Yes, they did.
Yes.
How long does that take?
We try to do them in bunches of 40 so we don't get too far behind and so that we don't our memories can hang with the plays. We start judging as soon as we get 40, which is usually right around the beginning of October. We have the first 40, so then we get together and discuss those. And like I said, we do them in bunches of 40. So we are judging from October 1st through February 1st and a little after that, which is our deadline. So, yes, it's a lot of work. And I think that the people on that first reading committee are really dedicated and great to be able to do that. So
tell me about some of these plays here. There are eight, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. And winners.
We'll be hearing specifically from one of those coming up. But
right.
Some of them have wonderful names like Bourbon Whiskey Rummy Cub.
Rummy Cube.
Rummy Cube.
Rummy Cube is a game. This year's
is that
theme
related
is
related to Rubik's Cube or something?
No, it's more like Rummy. It's just that it uses like tiles instead of cards, like the card game Rummy. So that's why I think the person called it Rummy Cube. And I do think it's an Israeli game, which comes up in the play. It was invented by an Israeli person. But it's much like the card game of Rummy, except that it uses tiles instead, and you make runs and pairs and things. So there is Bourbon Whiskey Rummy Cube, which means there are two people sitting up drinking bourbon and discussing whether bourbon is whiskey, and also playing Rummy Cube. They're competitive. And Kent is actually in that play as well,
yes,
so
yes.
We have with us, so he's chuckling. And that was written by a woman named, where's on the mic, my friend, Alexis Roblan, who's from New York. And quite a few of our winners are from New York this year.
I noticed that.
It's kind of a cultural cliche that playwrights are from Brooklyn, and we do have quite a few from Brooklyn this year. So in addition to Alexis Roblan from Brooklyn, we also have Jerry McGee, who is a past winner, who wrote a play called I Am, I Think. And I've been corrected. I was calling it a video game, but I'm told it's more like Second Life or alternate reality game. I don't know. But that's I Am, I Think, a man who isn't sure that he's real. He's wondering whether he's an avatar in a game.
I imagine a lot of people could relate to that.
I think so. Jerry is from Brooklyn. Erin, I don't actually know how she pronounces her last name. You think it's Mon, maybe? In memory of Calvin Baum? M-O-U-G-H-O-N. Erin Mon. Or Mohan? I don't know.
Also
but
from New York
In memory of Calvin Ball. And Calvin Ball is a game from a comic strip, Calvin and Hobbes, if you've heard of Calvin and Hobbes.
Ah, that is my absolute favorite comic strip.
Do you remember when
ever.
They played Calvin Ball?
I feel like that I should. but I'm
Well,
don't.
You know, Hobbes is imaginary. Hobbes is the imaginary
don't
one.
Don't say that.
What? But they're playing together, and their game is, the one rule is that the rules, you can never have the same rule twice. So it's a game that's played usually with masks. The one on Heartland stage is not played with masks. And they use, you know, soccer ball, ping pong paddle, dice, whatever. It mixes all different games, and it's supposed to be sort of an anarchic game. So In Memory of Calvin Ball is a terrific little play about two people playing a game with rules that they make up as they go along. I've done that in my past. I don't know if you guys have made up rules as you went along.
Oh, sure, sure.
And also in New York is Mike Poblete and a play called It. It's about tag. So we have adult actors playing children whose romantic relationship is played out in the game tag. And whether one will sacrifice herself to become it as a romantic gesture. And
so that's the third person from Brooklyn.
Yeah. And then Manny Barrero is from Forest Hills, New York, so not too far away. And he wrote a play called Final Bingo, which is about two older ladies at the last night of a bingo parlor just before it closes. And we were able to use some of the actresses from our Young at Heartland program. And you spoke to
last,
Anne White
last
earlier.
Week, yeah.
Then we also have the Misconnections play, which these guys are associated with. That was written by Marge O'Neill Butler, who's from Florida. And Austin Steinmetz from Columbus, Ohio, wrote a play called Wordplay, which is about Scrabble and about a guy who is a 5-time national Scrabble champion who goes to the park to scam homeless people at Scrabble. So it's got an interesting premise. He's so unconfident about his own Scrabble prowess that he has to fleece homeless people. But he runs into somebody who plays a pretty good game of Scrabble even though he's homeless. And then the last play is from someone from Illinois. John Poling from Clinton, Illinois, wrote Destiny's Tug of War, which Destiny is a dog, and the tug of war is really over who's responsible for the dog. It's a man who is divorced, and his ex-wife has a new partner, and she and the new partner, a woman, are waiting at the vet's office to see what happens to the dog because it was injured in a game of tug of war. So it's a tug of war over the dog and over that marriage as well. So it's got some deeper issues there.
If I heard you right as you've gone through these summaries, it sounds like there's a number of these plays that have just a couple of actors.
Yes. Yes. I believe that actually Destiny's Tug of War has the most with four. Misconnections is just the two actors here. The other play that Kent is in is also just two actors. Yeah.
And is this mostly because when you only have 10 minutes, the more characters you have, the more complex it gets?
Yes, we do limit it to four.
You do limit to four characters?
We do, because if you think about the logistics of putting on this festival with eight different plays and eight different directors, and it's usually around 20 to 25 actors to fill all those plays, and that's limiting the actors in a play to four. If we had larger casts for the individual plays, we would have a huge number of people milling around backstage. That would be a little problematic to deal with just that many people and that the size of the cast required to fill all those places.
It's a fairly small stage at
Yes, it is.
Theater. How many do you fit in the theater?
I believe it's 90.
93.
Yeah, 93. So that sounds somewhat on the par, perhaps, of the Station Theater here in Urbana, at least in size.
It is somewhat like the Station Theater. The Heartland Theater has got permanent seating now. The Station can change up its black box anyway, it feels like, at any time. So they do move seating on different walls. Sometimes they're in the round, sometimes they're on one side or the other, or two sides. But at Heartland is three-sided seating and a small...
But it makes for a similarly intimate experience.
Exactly.
And especially so when you have small casts, such as in this one. Well, since you did bring along a director and two actors, let's make some use of them. Ron Emmons is director of the play called Missed Connections by Marge O'Neill Butler. And Alyssa Ratkovich plays the character of Rosie, and Kent Nussbaum plays the character of Bob. Always an original name.
for sure.
One of you give us a bit of a summary of what's going on here and then a setup for the scene that we'll have.
Well, without giving too much away, first of all, this was the play I fell in love with this year. From the time I read it, I knew this is one that I would happily direct. And the key thing about this one, to me, is that the characters are so well developed. Oftentimes what you get in a 10-minute play is sort of a skeleton of a character. I think Marge did a wonderful job of putting this together. She was up and spent some time with us a week ago to see her show. Five of the writers, in fact, were there. And we found out this is, in fact, based in a true occurrence. It's about not a blind date, because the two people have seen one another, although it may not be the person that they thought they saw that they're getting together with this second time. And the young woman... Well, there's an ad placed in Craigslist Missed Connections. And through that, we get the response and we get them coming together in a Starbucks-type locale. And I think, quite honestly, Kevin, we can probably just take it from there with the two of them.
Well, let me ask before we do, since you said that this was the play you immediately fell in love with,
yeah.
And you were on the initial
right.
selection committee, so you're one of those who read the 300, however many
yeah,
it was.
Yes.
What are some of the things that stand out for you or that makes a play stand out from such a huge pile?
Some of them are the very old-fashioned things, beginning, middle, and end. So many of the plays we get seem to be slices of a longer play. that were submitted to fit the 10-minute time limit. So it's a fully developed play. Endings are hard in a 10-minute play because it begins, that's rather easy. It starts to build, and then you've got to decide where to make the cut, the cutoff. And Marge did that exceptionally well. The other thing that I look for is character development. There have to be fully blown characters in these plays. I'm lucky. I mean, when I cast this, first of all, you're always a little uneasy when you go into the auditions because you know you're looking for somebody strong for the male, somebody strong for the female, and you're never sure you're going to get them at this particular audition. I went in this year. Kent was there the very first night. In my head, I cast him immediately because we have to then duke it out over who gets whom with the other directors. Alyssa was not there the first night. She came in the second night of auditions. And I had somebody I thought I could use who would have been fine on the first night. But then I saw Alyssa and, well, she just stole the role because she was so very good. And I think they've lived up to it. This has been fun. Working with these guys has been a great deal of fun.
Well, let's get a taste of it. It's a scene from Missed Connections by Marge O'Neill Butler, who comes from Miami Beach, Florida, or who lives in Miami Beach, Florida, submitted this play to the annual 10-Minute Play Festival for Heartland Theater Company. It's one of the 8 winners, and it will be presented along with the other 7 Thursday through Sunday, and then next Thursday through Sunday, and the festival wraps up on July 1st. Alyssa Ratkovich and Kent Nussbaum here on Live and Local.
All right. I'm glad you posted about our meeting.
Well, my friend Michelle told me I would never forgive myself if I didn't, so I posted. Hit send before I could change my mind. I never thought I would hear from you.
So, did you buy the pasta?
Pasta? I don't know, don't remember.
We met in the pasta aisle.
No, we met in the dairy section.
No. It was a pasta. Remember, I asked you if you liked the house brand.
No, we talked about Greek yogurt.
I don't remember that. Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. I teased you about liking yogurt. You know, men who like yogurt.
But I don't like yogurt. I never buy it.
Oh my God, you're the wrong baseball cap.
But I was in Whole Foods that day.
What time?
Lunchtime. I always buy my sandwich there.
No, it was earlier, just before 10. Do you even own red shoes?
Running shoes, yeah, they're kind of red.
You're the wrong person!
No, wait, I remember you.
You've probably seen me there before. Okay, my guy was wearing bright red shoes, and he likes yogurt.
Well, I can eat it.
No, you have to like it. He says he really likes it.
So is this a deal breaker?
What do you mean?
Do I have to like yogurt?
But you're the wrong one! I thought I was meeting yogurt boy.
Well, I can be yogurt boy.
No, you don't understand. We had a connection. We hit it off right away, you know, hoping he'd ask for my number. Oh, God. Wait until Michelle hears about this.
Well, maybe I could learn to like yogurt.
You made that up, didn't you? About being at Whole Foods that day? Oh, you did, didn't you? God, I spent $80 on these jeans just to look good, and now I find out that you're a liar? And a thief. An identity thief.
Wait, no. I was just trying
to... What, you and old Norm do this all the time? Find likely subjects and meet up with them? Pretend to be someone else?
Wait, no, I was... Look, I thought you were pasta girl, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, she was so nice. And like I said, I am tall and trim, and I do wear a socks cap. Norm says it's gonna grow into my head I wear it so much.
Norm sounds like a loser, reading Missed Connections.
Well, actually, he's a lot of fun.
Oh, right.
No, really, he's fun. He'll go to the mall, he'll sit right next to somebody, check his watch, see just how long it takes before the person moves or speaks to him. His record is 47 minutes.
Well, you know, that's funny. Michelle would love that. She goes to the mall, sits down next to people, and makes up stories about them. She always gets disappointed if they talk. You know, never as interesting in real life.
Norm also photographs sleeping men.
Ew, what? Wait,
you know, men fall asleep in the middle of the mall waiting for their wives. Norm will go right up to him. He uses the flash and everything.
Why?
Oh, it's his thing. He posts them on Facebook. He's got pages of these guys. Most of them are just sitting there with their mouths open.
You know, I think I've seen those before. What did you say his last name was?
Samson.
Norm Samson. There was a Norm Samson in my high school.
Township?
Yeah.
We worked together.
In the mall?
No, in the same firm.
Oh, what? You're a lawyer?
Trial lawyer, yeah.
But you don't look like one.
Oh, and what do they look like?
I don't know. Smarmy.
Well, Norm's not smarmy. He's a great guy.
Mall stalker and an internet geek.
Yeah, a lot like your girlfriend. Maybe we should set him up.
No, that'd be too weird.
Why not? We could double date.
Double date. Are you from the 50s?
And I think we'll leave it there for people to come see the rest of the show.
Well, that makes me want to see the rest of that play anyway. Yeah.
That was what we were hoping.
I admit to being slightly confused already. Like, who is this Norm guy? Who are we talking about here? But I guess that's part of the question.
All part of the mystery.
Yeah, well, that comes up a little earlier, that Norm is a friend of Kent's.
Yeah, because we started right in the middle of the play there. Or like page two.
Page
yeah.
Two.
So not exactly at the beginning, but close enough.
The basic idea is that she posted on Misconnections and he answered, or vice versa.
Yeah.
It was that way.
Yeah, that
way.
Yeah.
And, well, I got that part.
And then when they actually meet, they're not sure that they're the person they thought they were. And you got that
too,
part. That's all that's important.
Yeah.
So
it's just this Norm guy I was starting to think is an alter ego for
pictures
characters.
Of sleeping people at the mall.
Yeah, right.
It is a little creepy.
Yeah. That's from Missed Connections, name of the play by Marge O'Neill Butler, which is one of the winning plays for the annual 10-Minute Play Festival that the Heartland Theater Company is putting on. The run actually began a couple of weeks ago and continues on Thursday. Performances Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7:30, Sunday matinee at 2, and then same schedule next week through July 1st. Ron Emmons is directing that play. Julie Kistler is chair of the 10-Minute Plays Committee. Both of them were involved in the initial selection of initial weeding down of all the submissions, of the hundreds of submissions, literally. And you can go see the ones that won and probably argue with your friends afterwards as to whether they should have or shouldn't have.
And people do.
Oh, yes.
You know, I'm sure inevitably somebody comes out and says about one of them, why did they pick that? And then in which case they can go have a conversation with you about that sort of thing if they want.
Especially on the theme, because we do select a theme each year. And I know people argue about how well the plays fit the theme. One year it was the coffee shop, which when we picked the theme, we intended it to be that kind of restaurant that they have in all hotels, you know, the coffee shop, 24-hour kind of a thing. But some people interpreted it as a Starbucks thing. So when we had some Starbucks-y plays, they're like, that's, you know, there's food there. How can that be a coffee shop? So anyway, we do get a lot of feedback on that issue.
And the theme this year is playing games, which you would have guessed if you heard the Julie's rundown of the plays that were selected this year. Well, I hope it continues to go well the rest of the run, and it's an exciting event. For more information, you can go to heartlandtheater.org. You can get the full schedule. You can read something about the plays. You can see what else is going on from the theater company as the season progresses and so on. And thank you all very much for joining us on Live and Local today.
Thank you.
Yes.
Stay tuned next for my conversation with Robert Rumbelow, who's director of bands at the University of Illinois. The U of I Summer Band is giving the first of its two Twilight concerts this Thursday evening on the U of I Quad for free. Our broadcast today is made possible in part by a grant from the Meredith Foundation dedicated to supporting the musical arts in performance and presentation. That's the first movement, and just the very start of the second movement, from the first of the two suites for military band by Gustav Holst in performance by the Cleveland Symphonic Winds, conducted by Frederick Fennell. The Chaconne, the name of that movement. It's one of the pieces that will be played on Thursday evening at 7 o'clock by the University of Illinois Summer Band, first of the two concerts they'll be giving this summer, for free on the quad at the University of Illinois in Urbana. Champagne. Stay tuned for my conversation with director of bands, Robert Rumbelow.
WILL is listener supported. You hear us say it all the time. When you contribute during this pledge drive, you help to keep the musical performance programs alive. You can check out our progress when you visit our homepage at will.illinois.edu. From the homepage, it's a simple click on the word support in the blue bar, and you can add your gift to our fundraising success.
Robert Rumbelow's in what, Rob, your second year?
Just finished my second full year.
I've lost track already. as director of bands at the University of Illinois, and this is then the third summer band.
That's correct.
That you've done. And the 102nd? Overall,
isn't that amazing? Just one of the many amazing parts of the history of bands here at the University of Illinois. But 102 seasons of summer band—it's really striking.
Yeah, no kidding. And this is a group that meets regularly throughout the summer until the end of the second concert?
That's right, yeah. It meets twice a week on Monday and Wednesday evenings. It's open to our alumni, which we have many alumni within driving distance who look forward to this summer activity to be reconnected with their Illinois bands, and of course to current students on campus, both majors and non-majors, who could also play. Summer band's just a lot of fun. It's built for entertainment. It's built for outdoor concerts, and we've got quite a great group. Over 80 people are in. And it's quite a full band this summer, and it's very active and just a terrific spirit about the band.
Is there a similar selection process at all to getting people for the summer band as for the bands through the school year? I mean, allowing that people are coming from elsewhere who used to play in the bands.
That's right. If you had been accepted into the University of Illinois bands at any time, you're automatically in.
Really?
That's right. So we trust our previous systems of allowing people to be part of the University of Illinois bands. And so a summer band is actually pretty easy to get into based on that. And then anybody who hasn't, who would like to, perhaps it's a non-major on campus who may be getting their doctorate in something and has a little time this summer and wants to reconnect with their instrument and music making, they can just come by and play for me or one of the other conductors.
So that's if they have not played.
If they haven't played in a University of Illinois band before. Right.
What if you have 25 tuba players who show up one year?
Then we are joyful for the noise.
And I imagine if you have only 3 flute players who happen to turn up, you'll go hunting for some more.
We would indeed. This year was really blessed. It was a huge turnout in all the sections. It's a beautifully large band, a great symphonic tradition, and we're doing just a whole bunch of great repertoire, including the Holst suite that you just played. We'll be doing all 3 movements of that.
And looks like a few marches are inevitable.
Absolutely. You know, the summer band is there to entertain. It's a great time to bring your family out to the quad, have a picnic, have some yogurt, listen, play with the kids, throw the frisbee. It's a wonderful time just to be outside, listen to some great band music and some favorites, everything from a medley of West Side Story to the traditional Goldman, Illinois March.
And this music by W.C. Handy, which people always enjoy.
Absolutely.
St. Louis Blues. Who we got? The U.S. Coast Guard Band.
U.S. Coast Guard Band with Ken Meegan conducting.
In this particular performance. It'll be played by the U of I Summer Band on Thursday night, 7 o'clock start to that free concert on the U of I Quad.
Thank you.
Well, that gives you an idea of some of the fun time you'll be in for if you go hear the U of I Summer Band on Thursday night. That's the U of I, meaning the University of Illinois, of course. And WILL is on the U of I campus, in case you didn't know, in Urbana. And that concert is free, starts at 7 o'clock. Robert Rumbelow is the director of bands, and we'll be conducting that concert. The other concert this season, I know, Rob, will be conducted by two of your colleagues. That'll be on the 19th of July.
Right, on the 19th of July, another Thursday, 7 o'clock, our second of two Twilight concerts. With a summer band, we'll be on the quad, conducted by Dr. Linda Morehouse and Professor Barry Hauser, both colleagues of mine on our conducting faculty with UI Bands.
Both of them relatively new to the conducting.
That's right.
Faculty.
Linda came basically at the same time I did. I was here a semester beforehand. And then Linda came from over 20 years of distinguished service at Louisiana State University. And Barry Hauser just joined us this past year to lead our athletic bands. And also, of course, he has a concert band and teaches conducting, like the rest of us do, on our faculty. And he just joined us this past year. So he's completing year one.
Curious about, since you mentioned teaching, conducting, what when somebody comes to the band program at the U of I for a graduate degree of some kind, are mm-hmm. they typically getting a bachelor's of education in instrumental conducting, or what are they getting
Actually,
from
they're,
you?
They're either getting a graduate degree in music education, either master's or on the doctoral level, or they're getting a master's degree in conducting, like a performance art as applied conducting, or our new degree as of just this past year. We have a doctorate of musical arts in wind conducting, and we have our very first student. He's been named the Beejan Assistant after Harry Beejan, who was two directors of bands ago. And we are opening one slot next year to invite another doctoral candidate in. So we're taking it very slowly and very selectively, but we have a terrific doctoral candidate, the first one in the history of this storied program, over 100 years, and we're having our first doctoral wind conducting student. And he's fantastic. His name is Ashley Gerald from Tennessee. And you'll see him in concerts with the concert bands and some of the athletic bands all of next year.
What took so long to start a doctorate in?
Well, I think tradition, for one thing, because we had a lot of our graduate students were getting their degrees in music education and a PhD or an EDD in music education. And now the turnkey degree, if you would like to teach at the college level, seems to be the DMA degree. Just the vibe around the country on what degrees are viable for certain jobs has sort of changed tracks over the last 15 or 20 years to the DMA degree as you're looking for conductors at the university level.
DMA is Doctor of Musical Arts.
Doctor of Musical Arts, indeed.
And EdD is just Doctor of Education?
Doctor of Education, right.
And what was the third one?
PhD in Music Education.
What's the difference between these three? I realize getting off topic.
No, that's fine. The PhD in music education is certainly more research based, and I would say the EDD was a little more in the practicum of teaching.
And then the DMA.
The DMA is more like applied study. We're working specifically on conducting and analysis.
Mm. Okay, well, that might be something for another conversation, I guess. I think the orchestral conducting program had their first doctoral student.
That's correct. We launched at the same time. Both of the instrumental programs launched the DMA at the same time.
All right. The concert Thursday night also has some non-march band standards, of which the first suite of Holst that we sampled earlier certainly is one of
those. Core original repertoire, certainly.
And some of the other pieces that are on here, what would you say fit that bill?
Well, we have some transcriptions, but one of the things that has become very common to the summer band concerts would be the Armed Forces Salute. Every summer, it's important, especially on the very first concert of the summer, we always pay tribute to everyone in the Armed Forces, and we have people stand up when they hear the song that's affiliated with their unit of the military. And so this is something that happens every summer on this first concert is an Armed Forces salute, and you'll hear that again. One of the other great things is you'll hear Illinois March by Goldman. Goldman, as well as many other composers, including Carl King and others, have wrote great music for the University of Illinois bands throughout their history. And this is one of my favorite Illinois marches. It's just so well done. And actually, I think I have one of my graduate master's students conducting this, as well as the medley from West Side Story. He's from Australia, and his name is Dale Poynton. One of our master's conducting students in wind conducting, and the Prelude, Sicilian, and Rondo by Malcolm Arnold, originally a brass band work, and then was reset for a full symphonic band as well as orchestra. This is being conducted as well as a piece called Bandology. It's an old, great concert march by Osterling. These two pieces are being conducted by another one of our master's conducting students, Michael Chester.
So you're spreading the wealth around.
Indeed. For, it's been a wonderful joy. It's always great to walk in to summer band because you see so many wonderful faces who've been looking forward to summer band, and we have so many different generations, and everybody's there for the same reason. It's the joy of playing and being part of something in the summer.
The Armed Forces salute, is it James Loudon? Is that how he says his name?
Oh, Loudon. Bob Loudon.
Bob Loudon.
That's okay. Right.
I just seen the last name. I've seen that before. Loudon. Mm-hmm. Never sure how he said his last name. Well, here it is in a performance by the U.S. Army Field Band from the 2008 American Bandmasters Association.
That's correct, the ABA.
Convention performance. It's the Armed Forces Salute. That'll be on Thursday's UI Summer Band Concert.
Thank you.
That's the audience at the Convention Center for the American Bandmasters from 2008, performance given there by the U.S. Army Field Band of one of Bob Loudon's Armed Forces salutes. And you can hear a slightly different one performed by the University of Illinois Summer Band under the direction of Robert Rumbelow. You'll be conducting that one?
I will indeed.
On that concert, with other conductors involved on that free program as well. And Rob and I were just talking as we were listening to the music that attendance has been really good for that the last summer.
Last summer it was terrific. Both concerts had a wonderful audience. The first concert intersects with the first week of Illinois Summer Youth Music, the ISYM camp that the School of Music hosts every year. And so we have a lot of our students out there, as well as a whole bunch of community members came out and enjoyed themselves. And I know that my own family comes out and throws a blanket down and enjoys themselves and listens to the concert.
I don't see any rain in the forecast. It might rain rain Thursday during the day.
Well, if it does rain, we have a rain backup, but we are certainly planning on being outside. It's just on the back steps of the Illini Union, and then we face out toward the quad so that everybody can sit on the grass and just have a wonderful time. But if it did rain, we are moving to Smith Recital Hall, Smith Concert Hall.
Which is just at the other end
of the quad. Just at the other end of the quad, exactly.
So that should be easy, and it'll be a great place to hear it as well. Maybe even better, I suppose.
Well, just I think for sonically, acoustics. Perhaps a little bit better, indeed, yes.
But it has a very different feel to it, should that happen. But the forecast looks okay so far, unless it rains during the day and happens to be really wet. But you can, how would people know?
We would definitely post on our website, and we'll also have signs out. You'd have to arrive at about the same place anyway, and so there would be a signs directing you to Smith if we've decided that it was too moist outside, but more than likely we'll be right there on the quad.
Yeah, well, that's a great way to spend a summer evening.
Indeed.
And
you can't beat the price
way.
Either. It's free, right. And it's going to be really joyful music. There's so many wonderful things happening, and we have so many great players from so many different generations coming together. It's a feast for the eyes and the ears.
We'll actually hear from University of Illinois, one of the University of Illinois bands, playing one of the pieces you'll be doing on that concert in just a moment. Let me run down some of the other events that people can see and hear live in our listening area. But let me say first that tonight on the WYLL-FM evening concert at 7 o'clock, cellist Yo-Yo Ma will solo in Dvorak's cello concerto with the New York Philharmonic. Kurt Mazur conducting that concert, which also includes Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. It's Yo-Yo Ma and the New York Philharmonic tonight at 7 on the FM 90.9 evening concert. If you want to do something different this summer or late in the summer, this is in September, it's the WYLL's custom designed trip to England and Wales, in which you can experience the real Downton Abbey, if you're a fan of that show, a private tour just for friends of WYLL. Lovely Cotswold villages are on the tour, as well as the Yorkshire countryside, where we'll meet Alan J.W. Bell, producer of the show called Last of the Summer Wine. It's been running forever, it seems. Tour Greenway, which is Agatha Christie's home, and also the English spa town of Bath, where you can visit the Jane Austen Center. And then the trip wraps up in London. The tour is just about full. Call 217-333-7300 or visit WYLL's website for more information. Today is Tuesday. That means that Kevin Hart and the Vibe Tribe with Cassie Hart will be at Miller Park in Bloomington at 7:30 tonight. Parkland Early Jazz Orchestra will be at the Iron Post in Urbana tonight at 7 o'clock. Brandon T. Washington is at Clark Bar in Champaign tonight at 6:30. In Peoria tomorrow night at 6:30 at the Rhythm Kitchen is John Miller and the Romantics. Donnie Heitler has his weekly solo jazz piano gig at the Great Impasta in Urbana tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. It's the Diva and the Dude at Clark Bar in Champaign tomorrow evening at 6:30. Cabaret night with David Thies and Jeff Poor at the Iron Post tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock. Sam Hastings Quartet with Brian Kroc is at the Iron Post at 8 o'clock then tomorrow night. The Little Theater in the Square in Sullivan presents Seven Brides for Seven Brothers at 8 o'clock tomorrow. And then that continues later in the week. Check their website for the complete schedule. also tomorrow evening playing in Blair Park in Urbana at 6:30. Well, it's just down the street from me is Keith Harden. And in fact, Keith will be our guest on Live and Local playing for us live for the hour tomorrow. Wonderful blues guitarist and singer and other styles as well. That'll be on tomorrow's Live and Local from 12 to 1 and then Blair Park in Urbana tomorrow evening at 6:30. I didn't know they ever did concerts at that park down the street. Might have to check it out. Support for our show comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine tastings on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday's tasting features a sampling from the Marketplace Wines portfolio, followed from 7 to 9 by Gypsy Jazz of Django Reinhardt, led by Jordan Kay. This is 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR and Classical Music for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. I want to say thanks as always, Rob Rumbelow, for coming in. Rob's director of bands at the University of Illinois. It's been a little while since we've had you on the show.
Always a pleasure, Kevin.
And thanks for bringing us yet another fine summer band concert. It'll be Thursday night, 7 o'clock for free. Rob and his colleagues in the band program presenting that concert. And if somebody wanted to play in the summer band for the second concert, could they still get in on that?
They could still get in as long as they're ready to go for the first rehearsal, which is the next Monday.
And how would they get in touch with you?
They could just call the band office at 217-333-3025 and just make sure that Rebecca, who would be answering the phone, would take your name and give you all the information that you needed.
And if you're an alumni of the band, you're in.
That's right.
Even if you're the 80th tuba player,
that's
you're in.
Fine with us. It's about the joy of music making.
Exactly. Well, here is the Illinois March of... Richard, what is his full
Edwin
name?
Edwin Franco Goldman.
Edwin Franco Goldman. There's a couple of Goldmans
That's
going
right.
on there. And this is Rob Rumbelow himself conducting the Illinois Wind Symphony from a concert just last December, live concert here on Live and Local.